You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday the 7th of March 2023 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, I've got a couple of news stories today. Let's see if we can get into both of them. We may only have time for one, and they really highlight the problems that we have with multiculturalism. So many of the problems that we have today in society come about through this policy of multiculturalism, and it's difficult to highlight these problems because you get accused of inciting hate against different groups by talking about these problems. But how else are you going to talk about the problems that are caused by this policy if you don't actually talk about the friction that it causes? And of course, you're not doing it because you're trying to incite hate against any minority. We talk about these issues because we want the government to change the policy. It's not a minority group that is responsible for government policy, is it? It's the government themselves. And the two stories that I have today, one comes from America and one actually comes from Tunisia. In Tunisia, they're now having problems with multiculturalism as well. The Arabs there are not very happy about the sub-Saharan Africans. And that's the case that we have in Tunisia. And the case that we have here in America is about Black Lives Matter and about white pupils at a school. The dad of a white student who was forced to his knees and made to chant Black Lives Matter by black bullies has said that he and his wife were livid after discovering their son's ordeal. I should imagine they were. And again, we're not talking about this so that people can say, oh, look how terrible black people are doing this, because clearly these black bullies, they obviously felt in some way that white people, or particularly the white students here, had done something to upset them. They were trying to force them to say Black Lives Matter. Why is it that black people would think that? Well, it's because they are told that white people enslaved them. They're told that the reason why they don't do so well in society is because white people are racist against them. They're told that the police just go out hunting them, and there's this very high proportion of black people that end up getting shot when they have a interaction with the police. And all of this is only able to happen because America is multicultural. The black people would not be having anything to do with white police if black people had black police, and they wouldn't then have any black people that were killed by the police. So that is at the root of this, is multiculturalism. And the craziest thing is, America was really forced to have multiculturalism after they emancipated the slaves, and they didn't say to the slaves, well, you're going to have to go back to Africa now. They kept them there in America, and that meant that America had to then deal with multiculturalism. The craziest thing is, the rest of the world didn't have to do that. But basically, Europe, and Britain in particular, imported people from the Caribbean, imported people from Africa to work in the country, knowing that America was having problems with civil rights. They were having all sorts of problems after the war with Jim Crow laws and black people that were rebelling against that. They had all these problems over there, trying to live alongside each other, two different ethnicities trying to live alongside each other. And we just did the same to ourselves. We imported these people groups that were very, very different to our own, coming from different cultures, and created these problems in our own countries. Who was it that created these problems? It was the government. It was the government's policy. You cannot blame black people for wanting to come to a white country if the white country has a higher standard of living than the black country, and if they see that they're going to be welcomed by the government there. It's the government that is at fault for this. And what's happening here with this bullying at this school, this is being encouraged by the media that is telling black people that all of their problems are caused by white people. So clearly these black students, they must have had some argument with the white students, and they thought what they would do is they would get the white students to shout Black Lives Matter. It's obviously it's bullying, and it's bullying that's based on race, but it's bullying that would never have happened if it wasn't that the school was multicultural and had black people in it and white people in it. Speaking to the Daily Mail, the dad, who wished to remain anonymous, also hit out at the school, Kenwood Elementary, for brushing off the outrageous incident. And this is because the school has tried to hide this. And I think there was a public information request that led to the video actually being released because people didn't believe that this had actually happened. The dad said they became segregated by race. The entire sixth grade became involved in recess after two or three black kids started it. And apparently what he means by that, when he's saying they became segregated by race, it soon became all the black kids against all the white kids. And I have heard from studies that have been done on this that when you have prisons, when you have multicultural prisons, the black people in the prison hang out with the black people and the white people in the prison hang out with the white people, and everything becomes segregated by race. And I have heard that it is a similar thing in multicultural schools when it comes to lunchtime. The white kids will sit with the white kids, the black kids will sit with the black kids, the Asian kids will sit with the Asian kids. Because people do naturally segregate themselves. They naturally wish to be amongst their own kind, amongst their own extended family, their own extended kinship group. So what you have here is you have an unnatural situation, which is different ethnicities being together in the same territory, in the same school, all being taught together. And they naturally want to be amongst their own people, but they're being forced together with all these different ethnic groups into this unnatural situation where these sorts of things can happen. I mean, what I would say is these sorts of things could not happen. If it was a black school, then this wouldn't have happened. If it was an exclusively white school, this wouldn't have happened. That's the reason why this happened. Of course, they're going to blame the students for this. The black students are going to get the blame for this. I think there is a legal prosecution about this, which of course is going to stay with them for the rest of their lives. If it wasn't for the fact this was a multicultural school, this situation would not have been able to happen. The furious parents' criticisms come after fellow Kenwood Elementary parent Crystal Haar said the Ohio school where her son was subjugated to the ordeal was getting unsafe due to the racial tensions. So there's all sorts of issues between the white pupils and the black pupils here. And we know with this critical race theory that they've been teaching them in schools, the schools have actually been separating classes into white students and black students. And then they put the black students in a separate area and they tell them that they've been oppressed. And they give them sweets and they get them laughing and singing. And then they'll get the white students and they'll tell the white students that they enslaved black people, their ancestors did, and that they all have this unconscious racism, this unconscious bias. And it's because of the white people. That's the reason why black people don't do so well in jobs. They don't do so well with their prison numbers, more of them get sent to prison, and how difficult life is for them because they have to deal with racism. So they make the white children feel really bad about being white, and they make the black people feel really good about being black. And obviously the motives behind that is that they want black people to feel included, and they want white people to make exceptions for black people. But it causes all these problems. This is where it ends up. It ends up with black people having this grievance against whites, and it ends up with whites thinking, well, hang on a minute, why am I made to feel guilty for what my ancestors did? I'm a good person. I'm not racist. why are you forcing me to say Black Lives Matter? Which is what happened here. These kids were forced to say that. Again, none of that would happen. You wouldn't have to have this critical race theory. You wouldn't have to have Black Lives Matter. You wouldn't have to have anti-racism. You wouldn't have to have all these resources that are being put into trying to keep this unnatural system together and trying to make it work. You wouldn't have to have any of that if you just had ethnically homogenous communities. And you could say, well, we can't go backwards in time. Everywhere is now multicultural. Well, the solution then is to have separate communities within the territories, which is the next best thing. If you had a black community, cities that just had black people in them and cities that just had white people in them. Or you could even say, well, we'll just have the city with the black people and the countryside we'll have for the white people. We'll have a separate area for the Chinese. The Chinese already have their own separate area. They have a place that's called Chinatown. And when you look at what Black Lives Matter and these black advocacy groups are calling for, they're saying we want more representation. We want to see ourselves being teachers. We want to see ourselves being judges. We want to see ourselves being the police. And they're effectively saying we feel more comfortable when we are around our own people. Surprise, surprise. Well, it's the same for white people. White people feel more comfortable when they're among their own extended kinship group as well. So what we're saying when we say what we want to see is ethnically homogenous communities, it's not that different from what Black Lives Matter are saying. And if we had that, then you wouldn't have these tensions that are there, which here have exploded into bullying, basically racially motivated bullying. Shocking footage of the episode emerged this week showing black students forcing their white peers to pledge allegiance to Black Lives Matter and assaulting those who didn't comply. Clearly, these black students, they're in the wrong here, but they probably think that they've been held down all their lives, their people have been held down all their lives by white people. They probably think lots of black people are being killed by the police. And in order to try and make things better, they want their white students to say that Black Lives Matter and they're going to do everything for black people. But of course, they're not thinking very far there, are they? Because everybody really should be doing what's best for their people group. And they've been taught that white people should be saying Black Lives Matter, but in actual fact, white people should be looking out for white people, and black people should be looking out for black people. And that's what comes naturally to you. Naturally, you want to do your best for your own family. It doesn't mean that you hate all the other families. But just because you love your own family doesn't mean you hate all the other families. And that's all that it is with ethnicity and with race. It's just your extended family. You can say, well, of course, I want black lives to matter. Of course, I don't want black people to get on don't want black people to be killed by white police officers. But I shouldn't have to say that black lives mean more to me than my own ethnic group. I mean, that is the point here that people aren't thinking about. They're thinking, well, people should be saying Black Lives Matter. But what it is implied by that, if you're a white person saying that, is that you think black lives matter more than your own group's lives matter. And that's the issue here. According to the local parents, the school kids appeared to divide themselves by race during the February 10th bullying episode, because this soon exploded, basically. It started off with a few of these black kids bullying the white kids, and the school soon split into a white group and a black group. And of course, the CivNats will be saying, well, this is all because of critical race theory. It's all because they're being taught to identify with their race if they're black. They're not, and that's all wrong, and we should all be equal, and we should all be thinking of ourselves as just being human beings. And of course, as an ethno-nationalist, I would say, well, that is unnatural. We naturally want to be amongst members of our own extended family. We naturally want to put our own family first. We naturally feel more comfortable with our own family, with our own group. And what the really conducive way to live is to live exclusively amongst your own group. And then these things couldn't happen. So it's not that critical race theory is wrong and that black people shouldn't be taught to identify with being black. I don't think it's good that they're taught that white people oppress them. But if black people want to have that as their idea of history, that's up to them, isn't it? But the problem is we live in a multicultural society And the white students are being taught this black version of history and being told that is the way that things are. So that causes all these problems as well. I mean, everybody should have a right to their own views on history. But when you have a multicultural society, that then becomes difficult, because there may have been tensions and conflicts between these different groups in the past. And they're now being told, oh, yes, but you're all the same group now. You're all British now, or you're all German, or you're all American. But they know that in actual fact, their primary identity is based on their ancestry, and it's based on who their extended family is. And as I say, these extended families, they may have had wars, they may have had instances where there are conflict between these two groups in the past. And then if you're just going to try and come out with one history for everyone, you're not going to come out with a history that is suitable for everyone, are you? You're going to end up with one group that's feeling aggrieved and saying, well, that history isn't true. That isn't what happened. And the other side are going to be saying, well, yes, it is what happened. And you're going to have these arguments. You can't tell history from different points of view. I mean, the word itself is his story. It's one man's story. It's one nation's story. You cannot tell history from all different sides without excluding some of the people there. So it's not an issue that black people want to have history told in that way, but it should just be for black people within their group. And then if you've got a multicultural country and you've got them understanding history in that way, and then you've got white people understanding history in the white people's way, then you're going to get friction like this, and you're going to get these problems that are turning up here. Despite a criminal investigation being launched after the students were assaulted, the father said his son's school merely brushed it off and handled it internally. And that's probably because it concerned white students, and this was racial bullying, and they didn't want it to be investigated like that. A lot of the time what we find is when white people are the victims of something that was based upon race, it will very, very rarely be prosecuted as a hate crime, because the narrative is that white people have all the power and black people can't be racist. Whereas what we see here, this was racially based, and this was bullying, and it's only because there's been all this publicity around this, I think, that it is actually being treated as a hate crime. It happened at recess on the Friday, but the parents didn't find out until the Monday, and they say, we are definitely more aware of the bullying now than before. And the father said, while his son has been bullied for years, the racist aspect to it amongst the 12-year-olds is what was most disturbing. He said, it's definitely because of the messages that are being put out there. Black lives matter, all lives matter, and them going back and forth, it's all the kids see. It is definitely doing more harm than good. It is all they see all the time. So he's saying it's because of this narrative of black lives matter when it should be all lives matter, and that is what has caused this. But again, it's really the multiculturalism, because if the black students were taught black lives matter, they were taught oppression, all these things, but they lived within a homogenous black community, there wouldn't be the chances there for the white students to get picked on and the white students to be beaten up. And at the same time, there also wouldn't be the chance for the black people to end up, innocent black people ending up being shot and killed by a white police officer, because there wouldn't be white police officers there. There would be black police officers there. So that's the solution to this. How we get to that, obviously it has to be done politically, but that is what needs to happen. I think we need to be split up into communities that are based on ethnicity. And I think life would then be so much better for everyone, that this bullying would not have been able to occur if that was the case, and it was black people's going to a black school and white people's going to a white school. The father has been joined in his fury at the school by fellow parent Crystal Haar, who took to Facebook to share her anguish at the incident, saying, Kenwood Elementary families, I just wanted to let people know that my 12-year-old was really forced on his knees on Friday and to say Black Lives Matter. Watch your babies. This is getting unsafe. And you can say, well, this is an incident that it's been publicised, we've heard about it, but there must be a lot of incidents that we're not just hearing about. All the time we think, well, all the time what is promoted is that white people will pick on black people because of race. But there are a lot of videos, particularly on Twitter, showing white students just being beaten up by black students. I will try not to retweet them because I don't want people to think that these things are being retweeted to encourage people to hate black people. They're being retweeted to show that there is this conflict going on between these different ethnic groups, and it's not been accurately reported in the media because the media will only talk about it when it's a black victim and it's a white perpetrator. And a lot of these attacks that have been put on Twitter, that they're not in the mainstream media when they should be. You know, you've got a white schoolgirl getting beaten up by a pack of black schoolgirls. And if that was to be shown in the media, people would understand, look, there is this tension, there are these conflicts that happen between these ethnicities, between these races. They couldn't happen if people lived in an ethnically homogenous community. It's that simple. As I say, how we actually get to the ethnically homogenous communities, that's the difficult part, but that would have to be done by the government, obviously. She added, this parent added that while the footage caught a small number of students involved, the bullying ended up pitting almost all the pupils against each other. It was literally half of the class that did it to the other half. And they called us 20 minutes before school let out on February the 13th and wouldn't even tell us what happened. So it soon escalated and it broke down into race, basically. And, you know, this is what we say as nationalists. If society was to break down, then people would soon have to identify with their group. They would have to identify with their group and start looking after the best interests of their group. And it's instinctual. You instinctively, if something terrible was to happen, you instinctively want to make certain, first of all, that your family are okay. If something happens somewhere where your family lives, straight away you're phoning them up. Are you okay? Are you okay? And that's what goes on here. You start to identify with your people when everything breaks down. And it seems to me that that was what was happening at this school. The pupils started identifying with their group because there was a threat there, and the threat was coming from this other group. And the reason why it was coming from this other group is because they've been propagandized to see white people as a threat to them, rather than seeing white people as their equals, an equal group, but just a different group, a different extended family group. But they're not taught to see whites as their equals. They're taught to see white people as their oppressor. And white people are told, well, you shouldn't be identifying with your group at all. Your group is just a myth. Your group doesn't actually exist. The students involved in the incident were interviewed by school staff as authorities continue to investigate. Disturbing footage of the episode saw two students initially escorting a boy to an area in the school playground where he is then punched in the head. More students are then taken to the same area of the playground where they are assaulted and shoved to the ground if they don't pledge allegiance to Black Lives Matter. And I guess this is really similar to when the Black Lives Matter riots happened, and they were trying to force people to say Black Lives Matter, and that's why all of these corporations and these shops and clothing companies, they all came forward and said, we pledge allegiance to Black Lives Matter, and we'll give a load of money to Black Lives Matter. And you had all these Twitter accounts pledging allegiance to Black Lives Matter. You have all these football players getting down on their knees. So it's really an extension for that, isn't it? These black students are thinking, well, we're persecuted. So many of our people are ending up getting shot by the police. All these football players are getting on their knees. All these companies are pledging allegiance to Black Lives Matter. Why aren't our classmates doing that? We should make our classmates do that. I mean, you can see the way that they would be thinking in order for this to happen. And it's pretty much what these parents are saying. They're saying, well, they've been propagandized into thinking this, into thinking that black lives somehow don't matter to white people, and therefore white people need to be concentrating on that. video of the bullying first showed one student being tossed to the ground before another student joined seconds later. As the scene escalated, a third student was thrown right beside them. The incident is being treated as an anti-white hate crime and lists at least four students involved. But what these parents are saying here is that it was half the class. It wasn't just these four students. And it is being reported that it is being treated as an anti-white hate crime. And it is so rare that that actually occurs. I'd like to see the actual charges to make certain that that is in the charges. Despite the disturbing scenes, school principal Evan Hunsacker revealed that he only knew about the bullying the following Monday, 3 days later. According to a police report, the principal stated that a few of the students who had tried to avoid the situation were then chased down and escorted, dragged or carried to the spot on the playground. One student was also punched in the head by one of the suspects. And it may be that the suspects thought that they would get away with this, because it may be that the school have been told, well, far too many black people are being suspended, far too many black people are getting detention. We have to get these numbers down, so don't punish the black pupils. I mean, that is feasible. That is the sort of thing that these schools are being told, because there is a discrepancy in the number of black pupils that are excluded and suspended. It's higher than their percentage of the population, basically. So the schools have been told that they need to find other ways to deal with these pupils rather than detention, suspension or exclusion, which obviously is going to result in pupils thinking, well, we can get away with doing whatever because we're not going to be punished for it. And if they do get punished for it, then they can always accuse the teacher of racism. If the teacher is black, then they can't accuse the teacher of racism, and they can't have the suspicion that it was racism. I mean, this is the other issue here. I mean, even if you brought in all of these policies, all of these diversity quotas, did everything that black people asked for, they would still have a suspicion that there was discrimination against them if something happened and they didn't get their way. And the only way you can eliminate that, again, is just by having homogenous ethnic communities. Springfield City School District officials released a statement that insisted it won't be disclosing how the students will be punished. The Family Education Rights and Privacy Act prevents the district from disclosing personally identifiable information or details about the discipline of a child to anyone other than their parent or guardian. The statement reads, as it relates to this incident concerning participants and staff involved, the Springfield City School District followed appropriate procedures in accordance with board policy. Moving forward from this experience, the district is working closely with counsellors, mental health experts and multiple community partners and agencies to provide support to children and staff directly involved, as well as those not directly involved, and the district will use this experience as an opportunity to strive for greater acceptance, grow and reinforce community connections. But they're essentially trying to force a round peg into a square hole, because you have different ethnicities there within one territory, within one school, and things are always going to break down along ethnic lines. And there will always be the suspicion. I mean, it can be a suspicion amongst the white pupils as well, that something that they haven't got is because they're being discriminated against because they're white and they're because of these anti-racist policies. And then a black pupil might think that he's being discriminated against because of institutional racism. You're always going to have this concern all the while that you have multiculturalism. Well, you might have noticed I speeded up a little bit there. That's because I do want to talk about this other incident here of multiculturalism problems, which is occurring in Tunisia. African countries have launched repatriation schemes after Tunisia's president Kais Saied launched a crackdown against undocumented sub-Saharan nationals whom he accused of crimes and plotting to change the country's demographic makeup. Now, I'm suspicious of the second accusation here, saying that they are plotting to change the country's demographic makeup. I should imagine they're not all getting together and conspiring and thinking, we can take over Tunisia if we just have enough numbers. I think what's going on is they're going to Tunisia because they think they're going to be able to earn more money in Tunisia than where they are. The crimes that they're being accused of, well, we do know that the black community in America in Britain and wherever else, we do know that they do commit more violent crimes than their percentage of the population. But that's not to say that all of them are violent criminals. What that means is there is a higher proportion of them that are likely to carry out crimes than there are amongst the white population. So what are you saying there, that a lot of them are carrying out crimes? There could very well be some truth to that when we look at these statistics. And also, they can't say that it's because the Tunisian police are being racist against them or anything like that, because the Tunisians are Arabs. And what the problem here is between Arabs and sub-Saharan Africans. The Ivory Coast was preparing to fly nearly 300 citizens out of Tunisia on Saturday, the ambassador in Tunis told Associated Press, as dozens of nationals gathered outside the embassy in Tunis. Mali's embassy said it expected to fly home about 150 people on the same day. The Guinean military government was the first to bring back some 50 nationals on Wednesday evening. And remember, this is undocumented migrants, is that he is talking about. That's ones that have thrown their documents away. And that's the same as these alleged refugees coming into Britain are doing, is throwing their documents away. Interesting, isn't it? When Tunisia says we're going to have a crackdown on them, all these African countries start repatriating their people. And what happens when we say we're going to have a crackdown on undocumented migrants in Britain? Absolutely nothing. Alcini Barry, a Guinean citizen repatriated from Tunisia, told Al Jazeera that conditions had been very difficult. "We live in hell," he said. "When we go out, they catch us and they put us in jail. They have prepared a special prison for sub-Saharan Africans. When they catch you, they send you there." Tunisia's President Saeed last month ordered security forces to take urgent measures against hordes of sub-Saharan African undocumented immigrants, accusing them without evidence of causing a wave of crime and plotting a demographic change. Well, I should imagine if you do look at the statistics that they may well show that the sub-Saharan Africans are more likely to carry out crimes than the Arabs. As I say, that is what we find when we look at these statistics in other countries that have them. But what he's saying here is it's the undocumented aspect of these immigrants. That's the issue here. It says here, many of the estimated 21,000 sub-Saharan African people in Tunisia, most of whom are undocumented, lost their jobs and housing overnight. So if most of them are undocumented, that's the reason for this, isn't it? He's gone after all of them, basically, because most of them are undocumented. And then when they show their documents, they're getting everything back. The African Union criticized Tunisia and urged it to avoid racialized hate speech, and Saeed has denied that his views were racist. Ahmed Benchesmi, the advocacy director for the Middle East and North Africa at Human Rights Watch, said Saeed's speech had a very nefarious impact. "We have recorded exacerbated peaks of violence against sub-Saharan Africans," he told Al Jazeera. "The authorities have been arresting sub-Saharan Africans indiscriminately, without even checking their legal status, so the theory that they are only after undocumented migrants is not true." But we've been told that most of them are undocumented, so what they're doing is they're arresting them and then checking them for their legal status after they've arrested them, because we've already established that it's the majority of them that are undocumented. At least 40 students have been detained so far, according to Human Rights Watch, but the African Students Assistance, an organisation providing services to sub-Saharan African students in Tunisia and Morocco, said in a statement on social media that Saeed's speech had only intended to denounce clandestine migration. "There are therefore no difficulties for students with a regular status," it said. So it's purely these are illegal immigrants that they're going after, and anybody that does actually have documentation is allowed to stay. But again, it shows you these problems that there are with multiculturalism. You can't say that this Arab president is being racist against these black sub-Saharan Africans. These issues are there are because they're undocumented migrants that are going in there, and they have a higher crime rate than the Tunisians, which is causing problems. Again, if you just had ethnically homogenous communities, this wouldn't be able to happen, would it? The black sub-Saharan Africans would not be able to have this concern that they're being discriminated against, and it's just the president being racist, because that wouldn't be able to happen because they'd just be amongst their own people. Like, multiculturalism just causes so many problems. I brought this one up just to show that it doesn't just cause problems between white people and black people. It also causes problems between Arab people and black people in Arabic countries like Tunisia. And I suspect they probably have the same issue in Morocco. Anyway, I think we'll leave that here for today. Thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.